Okay, can we start with a word of prayer? All right. Father, we just want to say good morning, and we want to bring our worship to you this morning. Acknowledge that you are a great God, and we want to thank you for being our Father and our friend. In every situation, whether we're up or down, whether we're in the valley or in the mountaintop, or you are always with us, always loving us and leading us, your patience is everlasting in that sense that you will see us through in our journey. In our hearts are warmed, and our hearts are comforted by who you are. Thank you for being our Father. Mm-hmm. And we want to invite you this morning into our worship of studying your word. We want to know you more. We want to be changed and transformed by reliving and recounting of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. It is by this that we are able to live today, this Zoe life, this life of everlasting. May your Spirit work amongst us in our hearts. We want to thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right. See, I thought that was Alex, but that's Alex Jr. back. He looks exactly like him, which he should. Right. Okay. We are in Mark chapter 15. If you have the link, please click on it, and the verse is right there. I will read it for us, verses 42 to 47, okay? You guys just follow along. And when the evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where he was laid. Oh, I just saw something this morning as I was reading this that I didn't even put in here, but you know, we'll see where the discussion goes. But what fact did Mark want his reader to be sure of in this whole thing? If you see there's a repetition of something, what did Mark want his readers to know?
That Jesus was dead, and he was made emphasis to placed in a tomb.
Yeah. He wants to make sure this wasn't a hoax. This wasn't that Jesus escaped. He wanted to make sure that Jesus was dead, and that he used witnesses from Pilate, from the centurion, from Joseph, from the Jewish council, and in other accounts it said Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? The guy who was afraid of persecution from his own council members, he went to Jesus like, who are you? And Jesus said, hey, you know, you need to be born again. He says, how can a person be born again? So Nicodemus was part of this whole process with Joseph. So there's a lot of people here that Mark is accounting, is using to make sure that Jesus was dead and he was wrapped up and he was put in the tomb. So I think Mark did this to make sure that a true resurrection takes place in his account of the gospel, so that you and I can stand on this, because this is like the one of the primary things. Jesus could have done all the other miracles, and if he did not resurrect, our faith really would be questionable, right? Very questionable. So this is super, super important for us, and super important for Mark, that Jesus was dead and he was crucified. And I was reading verse 44. By the way, does anyone have any comments to this, even though it's just a very obvious thing? But what do you have any thoughts? Additional thoughts? If not, that's okay. Verse 44, Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. I'd never seen that.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that.
I was thinking that too.
What does that even mean? So I looked into it. Surprise was the word marvel, wonderful,
right.
Wonderful. That's the word that every time Jesus did a miracle, people wonder, filled with wonder. You see that all over the Bible. That's the same word. It is wonder. It wasn't questioning. That otherwise the word would be questioned. Now, ESV translated as surprise is a translation, because that's not what the word means. But that's probably the best way to describe this moment. But it means wonder and amazement. Wonder and amazement. A second tier meaning would be in admiration of someone. But wonder and amazement is, hey Bob, wonder and amazement is the description of, oh yeah, come up. Cool. That's cool. What's it? Thank you for it. Wonder and amazement, that's when Jesus performs the miracle and people have wonder and amazement, which is, you can get that, you kind of can understand what that means. So Pilate had the same idea. He was in wonder and amazement and marveling that Jesus already, I looked up the word already, actually is died at that time.
Right, okay.
It's not just already. Did he already die?
Yeah.
Shouldn't he last longer? You know, that's what I thought. But already, I don't think that's a confusing translation,
right?
There, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I love word studies. But it says he died now. He died at this time. So he wondered. And then he wasn't sure. So he asked the centurion to double check. And the centurion says, yeah, he died. And then Pilate says, okay, he died. And then go ahead, Joseph, go and pick up the body, right? So I just never seen why Pilate would be marveling. Why do you think that's the case? And Pilate is not a believer, but you know, Pilate is I've thought about Pilate a lot in the past few years. This Pilate character, he's not the bad guy here. I have a lot of, I like Pilate. He was really wrestling with what's going on. I mean, that's just me. I know that's, is that blasphemous to say, hey, I like Pilate, because Pilate's the one. There's something going on with Pilate that the text is alluding to. I don't think it says it outright, but he wondered. Why do you think he wondered? I think it's worth a discussion.
I think he's just a curious thinking man.
He's just a curious thinking man?
Yeah. Like, you know, why would the Jews treat him this way? Why, you know, he found no guilt, right, in Jesus. But why would the Jews want to treat a criminal?
Yeah.
Than Jesus.
He definitely was in... He was puzzled by that, right? Which is that the earlier text says that. Yeah, he's like, why would he didn't understand?
Yeah.
But why is he in marvel? He is he wondered.
Yeah, I mean,
that Jesus died.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who puts a stamp on every execution, at least in that region. If you crucify someone, there's no need to wonder why that person would die. Because that's the purpose of the cross.
Is well, I mean, I think it, didn't they say like it's supposed to take a long time?
Oh, so you wonder why he died so fast? So quickly?
That's what I've heard, but I don't know. I mean, I heard that crucifixion is supposed to be painful and long.
Yes.
Like,
and so he died already?
Right. Like,
why did he die so soon?
Like,
oh, it's supposed to take so long. I want to torture him longer?
No.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not putting, these are the questions I asked too, right? And then...
Right, and like, didn't they have to like break the legs of the other?
Yeah, but Jesus' bones were not broken.
Right, because he was dead already.
He was dead already. They pierced the side.
Maybe he at that moment, you know, because he was curious with his dialogue with Jesus, part of him may have thought how maybe this person might be the Son of God, right?
Yeah.
Could be. There's a slight chance.
We don't know. Yeah. He was in amazement that he.
Yeah.
The fact that he died. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And maybe he marveled at this because he said, I thought he was God. I thought he was going to make it.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be the King of Jews, that he's going to save himself and show everyone who's God. So he actually was a little disappointed that, you know, he died. You know, I don't know, but I just never saw that. As I was kind of going over it this morning, I was like, he was surprised. He's surprised, meaning that he thought the outcome was going to be something else.
Yeah.
You know.
So I'm wondering, like, you know, any encounter that you have with Jesus, like, you sort of gain something from it.
These people always do,
right?
When you speak to
Jesus,
yes.
When you have an encounter with Jesus, there's something special about him that you get, right?
Yeah.
And then that's probably why he's surprised.
Yeah, he felt something
else.
Yeah. And the Bible says that he does not teach as the scribes teach, but he had authority and power. There's something different about Jesus. That when you encounter him, he's like no one else. Even if you don't believe him, if you encounter him face to face, something changes within you, or at least you feel that, well, this man is, even the centurion we talked about last week, even no encounter, he's just hearing, he's looking at Jesus. He was like, something is different about this man. Whether he believed or not, whatever, and then, you know, the earthquake shook. Something is different about this man. I think that's what Pilate encountered as well, no doubt. Speaking with the living God. Yeah. Do you guys have those encounters, like when I'm sure you do. Not with like Jesus standing here. If you did, please share. But are there encounters that you have that maybe you want to share? What do you feel when you encounter him? What would be a word that you would describe? As you kind of, you know, imagine, as you think about when you encounter Jesus, whether in your prayer time, in worship, your personal life, it's always good to draw on one word that you may have. Maybe he's kind, he's patient, he's loving, powerful. All of those at once. Yeah. Is there something that always kind of stands out or lately?
I've been camping on Psalm 37:4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the question that you're asking is like, what has kind of been on our mind, or maybe a scripture that's kind of what we're been camping on,
yeah,
that would be the verse. And it says, delight in me, and I will give you the desire to.
Oh, okay.
So it, when I first read it, I, you know, it's not like, oh, my desire is to have $1 million, right? And then God's going to give it to me. Right? It's definitely much more than that. It's more of a longing with God, right? With his, you know, like his, like God, like with God, God's will, like his desire for righteousness and you know, love, right? It's just much more than that. I know I'm not explaining it very well, but that's a verse that I've been thinking about. Really. Trying to understand it more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know what it's not. It's not saying, oh, I want, you know, my heart desires.
Your self-greed, right? Or your self
desire. Right. I know it's not that, right? Mm-hmm. For sure, I know it's not that. And I know it's much deeper than that. It's, you know, it's got to align with God's will. I understand it in my up here in my head, but I want to really like feel it, really understand it, not just, oh, I just theoretically know what it means, right? I really want to experience it. And I don't know why, you know, when, because I look at my, my, you know, Bible app, and every day it comes out with a verse, right? And then, and I read it, it's like, okay, sometimes I just let it, I read it, okay, whatever, read it, whatever. But this one, I just cap on. I think God really wants me to dig deeper on this verse. To really experience that and find the light in him, right? Not, you know, external.
Yeah.
I'm not explaining it very well, but
that's okay.
I'm just thinking out.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I think, yeah, when we encounter Jesus, one of those things I think we're saying is that he kind of aligns us to his heart, right? He kind of reveals himself to you, say, this is where I'm at, and I'm going to help you to align your desires with mine, right? He kind of, it's revealing. So that's always very powerful. And when you talk about experience, I think that's what he wants us not to know it here, but he wants us to experience, this is what I love. And when you love it too, when we're aligned, you get to experience me, encounter me. So that's a process. It takes a while too. Yeah, for me too. Like, I get it. I understand your word, but it takes a long time to experience and encounter that. Yeah, thanks for sharing. And yes, we encounter all those things through patience, love, and okay. Anyone else online? If not, we'll move on to the resurrection portion of the passage. Okay. Hey, Scott, would you read Mark chapter 16, verse 1, all the way to 8?
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
Called the resurrection, Mark 16, 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Thank you. Did the disciples expect Jesus to resurrect? No. At least when, like, no? They don't have a lot of confidence in that. How can you tell that they didn't really have a lot of confidence in that? Yeah, this smart leader's dad. Hey, I don't think he's resurrecting. I'm going to just preserve my life and hide. Let's keep it on the down low right now, along with Peter, right? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I don't think they expected him to resurrect. And I know kind of usually brush over that, but why? I mean, they follow him all these years. Are they any different from us? You think if you follow Jesus for 3 years, most of us have followed him for much longer, but 3 years, you think you would believe that he resurrected?
If he said that he was going to resurrect, I think I would believe him. But also, when there's pressure, if
yeah, that's very natural. You're right. Yeah, I'd be too. Maybe you and I would be hiding in this room, you know, like the rest of the church, right? Yeah, that's certainly not surprising, right? That they would be kind of hiding out. It's interesting. Why did Jesus single Peter out. He knew, say, hey, I know you guys didn't believe. I think Jesus knew, right? But they said, hey, go seek out the disciples. And what did it say right here? I'm going to go back to that verse. So he saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in white robe, right? Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. I'm assuming this is the angel talking, who wasn't crucified. He has risen. He's not here. But tell the disciples and Peter that he's going to go before you in Galilee and meet you in Galilee. He said, go to the disciples and Peter. Why was Peter singled out? Interesting question. Why did he? Why did he single Peter out? Yeah, why did the angel single, I put here Jesus, but it's the angel. Why did angel single Peter out in terms of like, hey, go, the angel says right, they went to the tomb, Mary, the mother of James, right, brought spices to the tomb, right? And the angel says, go to the disciples and Peter, tell them that Jesus has risen. Go to them and tell them that Jesus has risen. He is no longer dead. And I was just looking at this as, why didn't he just say, go to the disciples? But he says, go to the disciples and Peter.
I think maybe he needed most comfort. Jesus.
Yeah, he needed the most comfort.
The most. Everyone needed the comfort, but he needed it the most.
He needed the most. Oh, okay. And why would that be comforting?
That Jesus resurrected, or
that you said that the angel says, hey, go tell the disciples and Peter, right? And you said, hey, singling Peter out is because he needed the most comfort. Why would that be comforting for Peter to hear that he singled out?
That Jesus forgave him?
Yeah. That's comforting for Peter. Yeah.
Because he felt so much guilt.
Mm.
Denying Jesus those three times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's because of the movie, if it was accurate, but I guess he saw Jesus' face. Mm. And I guess, and to me, that's just to visualize that is like, man, like Peter must have felt so much guilt, right? And then to deny him. Sorry, just thank you.
Okay. That's it.
I think just simply put, that he knew that Jesus forgave him.
Mm-hmm. But that's the
I agree with all that you guys are saying. You know, like I'm imagining that too. But his last encounter with Jesus is his betrayal.
Right.
His last time seeing Jesus is knowing that he's about to die, and that he betrayed him. And he probably feels just wrecked, right?
Yeah.
That encounter, you know, Jesus looking at him, like Bob said, and then his death.
Right.
And he's not seeing his Lord, and I think God meant to meet him there. Like, you need to hear from me that. Be reassured.
Yeah.
Reassured. Like
yeah.
You're still in good terms with me, you know? I asked about you personally.
Yeah, I asked about you personally. You're still with me.
Yeah.
This picture, I don't know. I love this picture. And I want to study the you know, how when they actually, when Jesus goes to the sea and he's cooking fish, right? And then that's another, I don't even want to bring it up because I think that's a study in itself. But this is the picture of the gospel, all embedded in this one single verse. Jesus resurrects, and then he asks for Peter. This part is like so beautiful that that's what the world needs, those who don't know Jesus, and that's what we, right? We're hiding because of our, whatever it is, whether it's our shame, our guilt, our sins, our inadequacies, whatever it may be. But Jesus says, I've come to save you, and not by what you have done or can do. I did it already. It is finished. And the first thing he does is go to Peter, who probably felt the most, right? His last incident just, it did not end well. And he says, I'm coming to you. And then you can imagine, like, oh, I'm still on the team. I screwed up. No work. You're still on the, tell Peter. I'm going to have a meeting. Tell Peter, right? I don't know if you guys felt that way before. We're like, oh, I don't even belong here. But Jesus, but you know, you get included back in. I mean, that's Jesus, right? You're still in. You're still in the game. I know how that feels like. I'm not on the team, though. I'm not. I screwed up, you know. But Jesus, no. Come here. Come to the huddle. You may not play for a while, but come to the huddle. But that's all I want, right? Just you're in the huddle. That means you're in the kingdom. You're still in the kingdom. That's the main point by what Jesus has done. And that's so comforting. That's so comforting. You're still in it. Jesus is telling Peter, you're still in. Right? So, yeah.
No, I don't think it's, you know, I thought about Peter. I feel the same way. You know, starting from, was it last week or the week before, where we were talking about, you know, some may see that verse as Peter followed as a distance, right? But Peter was actually following.
He was still there.
Yeah, he was actually pretty close.
Very close.
Because he went all the way into the court of the high priest. Yeah. And then Cindy had read the verse, the parallel passage in Luke, where Jesus actually said, you know, I'm praying for you, Peter, because I'm praying that you will not fail.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the midst of saying that, he also knew that Peter was going to fail. And so he said, and so Jesus said in the text that Cindy read, but when you turn again, right, you will strengthen others. I think this whole passage, like here, verse 7, it struck me about Peter, but I think it also struck me about the disciples, right? Because in all of these events here, right, from the passage that you had us like read, the disciples are nowhere to be found again. And the person, I don't know if you guys talked about this already, but the person who asked to have Jesus's body taken down was not mentioned anywhere previously in the Gospels. It's just like a, who is this guy? Right? It wasn't the disciples who asked for Jesus's body and prepared him and prepared the tomb. It was just this guy. And then it wasn't the disciples who went to the tomb very early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen, right? It was these women. And in those days, women are just not highlighted like the way we highlight Mother's Day today. And, you know, women are not highlights. They're not the heroes. It wasn't the strong disciples. It wasn't the sons of thunder, James and John, right? Who asked, like, I want to be it, you know, which one of us are going to sit at your right hand because we're so faithful to you. All these men are big talkers and they want to, you know, they like flexed a lot before, right? They're nowhere to be found in any of these passages, right? It's like Joseph of Arimathea and then the women who come and take care of Jesus. And so I do agree that he has this message for Peter, but this message of go and tell even the disciples, the whole storyline of Mark seemed to have taken a turn since Jesus' death. And to me, it just highlights like the weakness of men, maybe human in general, because you see what happens with the women, right? Jesus's message is to go and tell, and even the women at the end, like, they don't say anything, right? So even the women eventually do fail too, right? But I think it's this picture of Jesus saying, I know that you're all going to fail and you're all stinking, right? But like you said, like, that's the gospel. Like he kind of knows this is the tendency. There's a lot of failure, but that the message remains the same.
Yeah, I think it does highlight the failure of men, but it does always land in the success of Jesus.
Right.
And that's why everything rests on actually our belief, simply just our faith in Jesus. If you rest on your success, it ain't gonna work, because Peter did, right? It just, big talkers, right? Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder.
Yeah, that's
what I was thinking about. I'm
yeah,
like,
be careful.
Where are the Sons of Thunder right now? They didn't go for the body.
Yeah,
they didn't even go to the tomb.
They're mowing like cats right now.
They are.
No Sons of Thunder. No.
The Sons of Puddles.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about last week, like, you know, if I wonder what would happen if you get persecuted and there's a gun pointing at you, like, yeah, you kind of know most men, most people, the Sons of Thunder is probably like, probably not. But Jesus saying, you know what? I know you guys. It's okay. That's why I went to the cross. Your security is not based on your strength. That's kind of a relief, because if it was, then the disciples are disqualified. The women may get in. Right.
No, they get disqualified because they didn't actually.
Oh, they didn't actually. Oh, they
Jesus says go tell, and then
we'll
the verse 8 says they
yeah.
said nothing to anyone, but they were afraid.
Maybe Joseph.
Yeah, maybe
one,
Joseph.
Maybe Joseph. He gets qualified. One person out of this entire story. Everyone gets disqualified because you didn't follow through. You didn't do it. I taught you so much, and you didn't do it. You couldn't even stay. You couldn't even just say that you believed in me. Everyone disqualified. That's actually a sad story.
I think Bob had said something when I was listening in the car. He said, you know, I don't know what he was talking about, but he said, I think I know it in my mind, right?
Yeah.
But I want to feel it. I want to experience it, you know? And I think these are those passages that when we really think about it, I don't know, it moves me a lot. You know, when Cindy had read that, the prayer that Jesus prayed over Peter before he was going to fail, like whatever that was last week, 2 weeks ago, I haven't shaken that. I've stayed camping on that, because when you read how tender Jesus prays over Peter, and he actually says it, and he says, Peter, I'm praying over you that you will not fail. And yet at the same time, he says kind of like, but you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you turn again, so he knows that Peter's going to fail and be redeemed and turn again. And he says, when you turn again, I'm going to work through you, you know? And you could just hear Jesus's tenderness to Peter. And then I think that's his tenderness to all of us, knowing that, you know, you're going to fail me, maybe once, maybe twice, maybe over and over again. And yet when you do, my love for you doesn't change. The truth of what I'm going to do for you doesn't change. We talked last week that it wasn't the nails that held Jesus there, right? It was the thought of us that held him there. And I could hear Jesus praying that prayer over each one of us, you know? Like, hey, I pray. Jesus is saying, like, I pray that you won't fail, but when you do, like you'll turn back again, you know? And you could just hear a tenderness in, like, Jesus' prayer for, you know, for us.
Yeah. And if you connect that to the most famous passage of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you see why the Father, our God, loves us so much. Because that translates it's embodied and wrapped in the person of Jesus in his resurrection. That he loves us, not leaving us to fight on our own. He knows you will fail, but he says that provided security. That's why you have assurance. That's why if we put our faith in Jesus, we have security. I don't think just in salvation, but just in life.
I think that changes a perspective of, like, even church, you know, like brothers and sisters in church, because in these last few passages that you had us to read, that's the one thing that I kept thinking about, like, the most closest people who have been following Jesus for 3 years are all gone. They're gone. They've all failed. And they're hiding away. And they're like, I can't follow Jesus. This is too hard. You know? Even if they want to inside, they're like, we should be there. We should take down his body. Maybe they're in a room, like, debating. And it wasn't them. It was somebody else. And then it's the women. Even, you know, like, I think it's crazy on Mother's Day. Like, it highlights the women go. You know, like, they at least have more courage than the men to, like, go out. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Right? Someone you don't even hear about, which is Joseph. It said that he mustered up the courage and go to Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine that, right? Yeah. Pilate just executed Jesus.
Right.
So what's to say that Pilate won't, that he won't put himself in danger and be executed himself? So he
has to take courage. Yeah.
Yeah. This person who doesn't even appear in most of the gospel, right? Joseph goes, I'm going to muster up the courage and I'm going to ask because I want to honor Jesus, my Lord. And Nicodemus was there too, just not stated in. Nicodemus, who goes in secret, right? He says, I'm going to do it. But the disciples who walked around doing feeding 5,000, you know, doing all this, casting out demons, did not. It's the story is always, you never know, right? You never know.
I think that makes what the salvation angel so wonderful.
Uh-huh.
That compared to other religions, at least that everyone tried to be, I'm the head, I'm the best,
yes,
what I can do.
Uh-huh.
And God goes, none of you can.
Hey.
And even all the people that have followed him, seen all his miracles,
mm-hmm.
and they all walked away.
Yeah.
And that gives people seeing that whatever their success is through me, not through themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is not a religion of hierarchy.
Yeah.
Not a caste system. This is Jesus bringing everyone to ground zero. The focus on him. It's always on Jesus, not the person, right? Whoever does better, that's who he's going to highlight. Yeah, that is the beauty of the gospel.
And I think that also, going back to how all the Jews always mentions Father Abraham. Father
mm-hmm.
Abraham so much faith and
mm-hmm.
so much that he can do. Whatever he can do, I probably can do too.
Oh, okay.
And here it's showing you that's not true.
it is just by faith. If you believe. Yeah, but there's a lot in here that that we can actually keep going. But it takes some time to, this is why we study it, we recount these stories and we remember Jesus and we internalize and hopefully we get to experience Jesus again from the simple passage that Jesus' tenderness is for me, is for you, still exists today and extends to us today. And we're drawn to him, not because of the laws, we're drawn to him because of his kindness, because he's so kind to us, right? That's reassuring. I know we're, this is obviously the end of the story, right, for Mark, but kind of want to talk about next week and then the classes in the following weeks. Next week, I was hoping that maybe we can have a summary, a recap of what you really enjoy about this class. It could be the actual flow of the class, the way we did this class. It could be a specific passage or a story of what you gained from this. I would love to hear that. So maybe throughout this coming week, you can kind of go back to the past 7 or 8 weeks and see what you really gained from it. It will really help me and I think the class to hear what God has been speaking to you. And during the week, if you want to share it, great. If not, you can also, again, I encourage you to go to the feedback section in the link and just type something, say something like, hey, this helped me. I like this way, this model of studying God's word. I think that's going to be very helpful for me as I prepare future classes. Okay, so maybe going into next week, you would consider some time to just summarize it for yourself too, and for me. after next week, we will go into the miracles of the Bible. So there's a lot, so I'm going to kind of choose some of the miracles, so starting from Old Testament into New Testament, and we'll see how studying those miracles, how that will speak to us. It is really, the purpose is to take this, as I just felt that, you know, take from what we learned about Jesus and kind of extending that into all the miracles from Genesis all the way into the New Testament and how that will increase our faith. Perhaps that God will use this next session to really expand and increase our faith in him. Okay. Any thoughts, comments? Okay, all right, okay.
A long time.
Okay. Great. Always, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for our brother Frank, who has put so much time and effort and meditation on your word. I know he is not looking for the accolades, Lord, but Father, I'm still struck so much by how you prayed over Peter. Lord, I hear the tenderness in your voice when you prayed over him to not fail and to not fall. But at the same time you prayed for him, you knew that he was. And you prayed a prayer of hope over him. And Lord, I just hear you praying that prayer over all of us, knowing that we want to be as strong as a son of thunder in that type of concept, Lord. But oftentimes we find ourselves in pockets of weakness and failing and struggling, and that we can hear your tender prayer over us, Lord. So thank you, because I know that just as Peter did turn again and was used to strengthen his brothers, Lord, you've allowed our brother Frank to turn over and over again back to you, and you're using him to strengthen others as well. So I thank you for this class. I thank you for the times that we've had to let your spirit lead us in our thoughts as we unpack your word and share personally and insights with each other. Thank you for working in environments like this. And we just want to give you praise. Thank you that we find ourselves in a very flawed church. But in our flaws, Lord, that we can continue to look to you for strength and redemption, and that we also experience that grace from you over and over again, so that perhaps our culture and the way that we are with one another would be a culture of grace, a culture where we demonstrate that type of love and grace towards one another. We thank you this morning as we celebrate our moms in our midst and all those who have had motherly influences on others. Probably many of the women don't even know the influence that they've left on someone else's life here in this church. And we just want to thank you and praise you as we see those women in the passage today who had the courage to go and want to anoint Jesus's body. And we thank you for our women here in this church family. We want to celebrate them this morning. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. So next week, come prepared to just share one thing, everybody. And then I'll have a link reveal, they call it. You know how they have gender reveal. I'll have a reveal the link to the next class. I'm working on it, on the miracle section, okay? So you gotta come, and I'll give you the link reveal.
You gotta be here.
Yeah, you gotta be here. Then I'll reveal the link. I won't email it.
Okay.
Okay.